Mishnah Dalet, Perek Aleph, which you will find on page Mem Beis or page Lamed Tes, depending on which flavor you happen to have. Okay, this Mishnah is very appropriate for pre-Shavuos. It talks about Limud HaTorah, and especially the very powerful words here of the Rachayim. The Mishnah says, Yaisi ben Yehiezer ish Tzreida, Yaisi ben Yechran ish Yerushalayim kiblu mehem. We're going into Kabbalah, in the Messiah, through this is all during the time of the Abaye Sheni. The fact that there are Zugais, or peers of people, is something we'll discuss at a different occasion. But basically, leadership was divided. In general, Jews didn't like to centralize power in any one person. It's not a healthy thing. And in the time that there were kings by Klal Yisrael, there was always a Navi who accompanied the king and who the king had to answer to. And therefore, it stayed that way. In the time of the Baal Sheni, where there was no Jewish king, there were two leaders. One was known as the Nasi, and one was known as the Av Beis Din. And it's Hashem will leave the discussion of the roles to a different time, but it's enough to just point out that there was Zugais, there were peers of leaders during this time period. So Yaisi ben Yehiezer of Tzreida and Yaisi ben Yechanan of Yerushalayim, Kiblu Mehem, they were the next in the line of the Messiah. And Yaisi ben Yehiezer is Tzreida Omer. One of them would say the following, you should have your home as a place of meeting for Chachamim. We'll see what that means. You should place yourself at the dust of their feet and drink with thirst the words that they teach. Now, well, the first Mishnah mentioned the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu up until Mishnah Aleph. Now, each Mishnah is a continuation. Right, Moshe, well, none of this is new material. Each is advice that's given by an individual who, either because of his generation or because of his Tchunas HaNefesh, had specific points of advice to give. So we're collecting their advice. I'm sure he gave a lot of advice throughout his lifetime. But these were his main points. Reflected the people of his time. But it's recorded because it's timeless.
So it's not the Masorah. It's his own.
It's all the Masorah. Everything's part of the Masorah. It's all a continuation of the Masorah. It's not the Masorah mentioned in the Mishnah Aleph. It's a continuation of that Masorah. Now here, the Rachaim explains an important aspect of Limud HaTorah, which is missing to a great degree in the post-yeshiva world. In yeshiva, it's there, and after that, it gets lost, and it's a shame. Let's see what he says. Yipes chabez v'ad. Yitachem l'farish ki b'mem ches tevarim sh'atari niknes behem k'mavu l'kamon. We're going to learn at the end of Pirkei Avos the 48 items with which Torah is acquired. There's something called Hamachim Es Rabbeisav. Machim literally means he makes his teachers wiser. Now, what does that mean? He makes his teachers wiser. Aydei Sheiloisav Hacharifin, through sharp questioning. That causes the sugya to be broadened. Study is supposed to be a mulchama, a battle. Now, this is not referring to the battle with the Yetzer Hara, who doesn't want you to learn, which it certainly is, but it refers to the battle, the not only the pilpul, but the give and take in learning. And Tamidim are called people who go to battle.
The
Haravanya is also part of it, but here that's not what he's referring to here. Here he's referring to the give and take, as he explains. Koshamur Chazal, Lo Yevoishu ki Yedabrus Ayivim Bashar. Lo Yevoishu, you won't have shame if you speak to your enemies in the Shar. The Shar is the base medrash. Afilu Abu Benoi Rabbi Talmidai Nasu Oyevim Zelazev Einim Zazamisham. When you're learning, you're supposed to have give and take, you're supposed to have argument. And that means argument within the parameters of Torah. You know, sometimes the argument has nothing to do with Torah, but the argument has to do with the learning. Somebody understands, someone doesn't understand. Now listen to this quote. Asur loy letalmid lekabel divrei rabbi b'shiyesh loy kushiyus aleihem. It's prohibited for a Talmud to accept the words of his Rebbe when he has difficulties. Now we're not talking here, if you ask a shaila what bracha to make, you're allowed to be makabel the psak and do it. The point here is in the learning of Torah, there's supposed to be give and take, there's supposed to be argument, and there's supposed to be a certain level of not accepting something until you're satisfied that you understand it. Everyone agree with that? Yeah. Okay. So you don't understand. That's good. Okay. So there's supposed to be give and take. We have an idea that in Torah, the Gemara says, "Makim inichuli lizgadi albay." Sometimes, even if Rebbeim didn't succeed in an area, there's a place that God leaves in a Talmud to lizgadi albay to achieve greatness in. Ukamai she'etz kot madlikas hagadol, just like a small flame can light a larger flame, so too a smaller Talmud can, so to speak, light Talmud Chacham. V'zeh shamru yibes chabes va'ad l'chacham v'vay misabek. Loshin the Yeavek Ishimai. Misabek Bafraglaim doesn't just mean to sit at their feet. The Yeavek Ishimai is the language order of wrestling. Figuratively only. Figuratively speaking, Shu Inyan his Afkus Mulchama. Kimilchemes mitzvah he. It's Mulchemes mitzvah. Chin Anun. So this is what he's talking about, the give and take in Limud HaTorah. The give and take does not mean to sit back in the chair and stare at the sky and think that this doesn't make sense. It means through the effort of involving oneself in the learning and putting oneself into the learning in a way that it gets everyone involved, and people are really bothered sometimes by something said in a shir, not because because it's physically difficult to have a certain psak, but because of a certain lack of agreement with the give and take that's taking place in this year. And this level of learning is a tremendous gulf between the learning of the yeshivas and the learning post-yeshiva. There are very few people who really stick with it. But sometimes I have in shir where we finish shir, and boys are giving me a hard time, and there's somebody who comes in who has an appointment with me afterwards. He walks into the classroom, and I realize that he's so far, so distant from what's going on. What's going on is we're arguing about a nuance of a halacha where he's not even accustomed to the give and take of the halacha. It's something which really requires a certain rethinking of the way we learn, to apply oneself. You can't, if you only have an hour or two to learn a day, you can't stop yourself at each point that you're learning. But nevertheless, sometimes a point comes up, and it's a major issue, and a person who cares about it then throws himself into it, sometimes in a shir. You need to do both. You need to cover ground, and you need to be to have iyun. Well, the mile of common ground is that if you don't know enough, your questions may be ridiculous, because there may be the Gemara later may address it. So there is a certain need to cover a certain amount of ground. I had a great example yesterday, 2 days ago. Someone in yeshiva, somebody was learning Elul Metzias. And this is a rather famous story there with a man, Mari Bar Isik, who the rabbis came to visit him. He wasn't home yet, and one of his workers put food in front of them. The question was whether they could eat it, whether we can assume he agreed to serve such fine food. So that's the sugya. So one of the boys bothered him that, what do you mean? The Gedolei Hador come to the house. Why is the Gemara treating it like, you know, of course Mari Bar Isik would want. So I told the fellow, what do you mean Mari Bar Isik is a hoodlum? So what do you mean he's a hoodlum? So I turned to Gemara. They were learning Chav Beis or Chav Gimel. So I turned to Gemara on Daf Mem Amid Beis, which was 18 blot later, and the Gemara had a din Torah between Mari Bar Isik and someone else. And the Gemara said that Maria Barisik was such a mafioso that the witnesses were afraid to testify against him. And the Bezdin said that they put the burden of proof on him. He said, Dina hachi, the person wants to take away money from me, I have to prove that I'm potter. So Gemara says that they told him, this is the way we pass it for you, and any tough guy like you. So I told him, you know, Maria Barisik wasn't so happy to have the rabbis come. I don't know, you know. It could be they came to make trouble for him. Who knows why they were meeting with him. So right, the point is that you have to know something else in order to get there. But what? You'll never know everything. You'll never know everything. But yeah, there has to be a certain fundamental understanding of a sugya before you can do it. And that's why it's really the responsibility of a Rebbe who's teaching to have the other knowledge. And if what the Talmidim are asking is in contradiction to something later, he can point it out and silence them. If not, then the argument continues.
That's why I think that he has a different standard that he's giving a shiur to people who don't learn all the time versus in a cheaper way to do a lot more.
Rav Schwab once said, I didn't hear this directly from him, but I heard it from someone who was there. He said that he gave a Mishnah Yeshir to Milchan Mariv to people that were, you know, just probably by then elderly people just being entertained. And he said if they would only know how many hours of harving I put in before I give a shiur on a Mishnah, they'd be shocked, you know. But that was Rav Schwab. His preparation was, I have a Talmud who's an 8th grade Rebbe out of town. An out of town yeshiva where the boys are learning. Their 8th grade was probably 6th grade at our level. I advise him to prepare as if he's going to be a base medrash year. He was learning a different mesech to be and then preparing to teach. I said, don't do that. Whatever you teach, prepare as if you're going to be a base medrash year. And he found that not only it helped his own learning, but it helped in class too, to a certain degree. But anyway, the main point here is not the responsibility of the one giving the shiur. Here the main responsibility is the point of the one listening to the shiur, that sometimes you learn, and something seems different, something seems strange, or you have to afterwards go to the books and be ma'in into it and try to do some research into a point. And it's something that it's necessary. It's not as I listen to a shiur. And I hear a point that catches my fancy. So sometimes I'm listening in the car to a CD. I can't even argue with the man. You know, he's not going to answer me back. I come to a base medrash and you know, I start looking up the Marmakavos and I start going into the sugya. And it's a sugya which, it's an idea of Limud HaTorah which involves the whole person. It's not just sitting and hearing something and hearing a drasha. It involves the person looks into it, does some research into it, and different people have different levels of ability to look into things. But, you know, it happens sometimes in class that I say something and I have 25 boys talking at once, you know, out of, because by boys you have to have someone listening to you to talk. By women, they could all talk at once, which always amazed me. But in the class, usually they're talking to someone. So, you know, like half of them are arguing at the same time. And I just wonder if I made the same statement here at Charles Shodis, if anybody would say anything. And I say this to them because I tell them, you know, in a dozen years or so, you're going to be the one by Charles Shodis. And, you know, if you're listening to something and you have what to argue, you know, just to say I don't understand is one thing, but to go look it up and try to be ma'ayin, take it with you, you have a different kinyan in your learning. There's a different connection to the learning that a person has when he takes something and he follows up on it. Now, I myself am guilty, I don't follow up enough on things, but
I try to give you a tough time shot.
Yeah, it's very good. I have no complaints. I'm not complaining, I'm only trying to make it even better, that's all. The point is that a person has to throw himself into his learning. There has to be a certain involvement. You'll find if you take a topic that you hear, it doesn't have to be the most complex topic. Even a part of davening, you hear a pshat, and then you go and you look, and you can pull out even an English that books on the siddur, and involve yourself in it, throw yourself into it, and it just becomes different. It becomes a different involvement. Sometimes, I'm always curious, the boys are in my shir, what they remember years later. You know, sometimes the boys in my shir, 5 or 6 years, I really wonder. Last night I went to Stan Kasek's wedding, so a cousin of the chassan was in my class. So he's in Lakewood now, and So he was very complimentary. Whether he meant it or not, I don't know. He said some very nice things. He was in my class 1 year, and you know, whatever, he told me all kinds of nice things. So that was during the dancing. Afterwards, you know, he walked me to the car. I said, "Okay, what do you remember? Like, you know, what do you remember? Do you remember anything?" So it's very interesting what comes back. Usually, what comes back, either it's advice that meant something to them, but if it's in learning, it's something that the individual threw himself into. And looked into it on his own, and then came back to argue about it. It was give and take, and he felt that he had, you know, we call chidushei Torah. It doesn't have to be a chidush; it just means that he put things together. Chidushei Torah is collecting things on one topic. As long as chidushei Torah, that's what Rabbi Melman does every Shabbos, right? He collects different things and then throws in his own. I don't want to say 2 cents, but his own. Couple of dollars, but that's the way we learn. We collect things. That's our chidushei Torah. And if someone throws himself into such a thing, then a person has a different kinyan in Torah. It becomes more part of him. He has a greater interest in it, and you know, it can be. You listen to a shir anywhere. There's got to be some point that touches you, and then you know, you mark it down. You carry a little paper in your pocket. You mark it down. I have so many papers in my pocket. It's already. Over them, but then you follow up on it. It becomes more meaningful. Anyway, that's the idea here. That osaloi latam lekabel divrei rabbi kishyesh kushas salem. It's a very powerful, powerful statement.
Even for me.
Even for me.
If you want to jump on my bones, you can.
Okay, that's very good. Excellent. All right. I mean, I know that I learn more. When I'm challenged, you know, Thursday mornings, I give a chabura to boys that were in my shir that no longer go to shir. So once a week, I give them a chabura. So today, I sat down. I told them the guys in shir gave me a hard time, had a great shot in something, and then they didn't leave. They didn't let me go with a certain question on what I said. I said, "I'll learn it with you. Let's try to answer it for me." And I spent time doing the sugya. I tell you the great teretz on a difficult kasha, and then the question the boy said, "Yes, me." Now, I'll tell you the truth, we didn't resolve it. But you're in a sugya differently when you're sitting down, and you know you have the thorn in your side. You got to figure out why it doesn't fit. Sometimes it doesn't fit. You have to abandon the way you're learning. Sometimes your heart just tells you that it's correct, and you know they say from the kasha start minish. So. But that's all part of the Amelus and Torah. It starts with taking one nakuda that you hear, that you like, that's interesting. We have a Svar Machomish. You can take out, you hear a pshat in a pasuk or a vart on a Rashi, and it bothers you. So you pursue it. You know, the thing that, when I give Matzah Shabbos once a year, an imponderable shir. The thing I like about the imponderable shir is that I get letters. People take the questions. Sometimes I know their answers. But it's just such a fascinating question that, so I never know which one makes it, you know. It always fascinates me. I can ask 20 questions, and I never know which one. So this year, the question that everybody followed up on, or rather was not, my imponderable share, it struck me, the one everyone followed up on, many people followed up, and I asked how, I had rather asked in the shul, on Yom Tov, previous year, how Nachshon Ben Aminadav could jump into the Yom Suf on the seventh day of Pesach, if you're not allowed to wash clothing on the seventh day of Pesach, so how can you jump in with your clothing into the Yamsa? Unless you say he jumped in, he was undressed, which is a possibility. But in all the pictures of it, it doesn't show him undressed. It you know, appears to be wearing his bekushin. It's undisturbed by the water. So, you know. And then before I'm still getting people coming over to me. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, in Navi Shir, I spoke about Melechiks on Shavuos. And I asked the question, how the Mishnah Berurah could say that when they came down from Har Sinai they couldn't cook because the pots were treif, they couldn't shecht because they had one of the shechita, but kuli alma ma'idi to be Shabbos nitna Torah, it was Shabbos anyway, they couldn't cook anyway and they couldn't shecht anyway, so they came down from Har Sinai they couldn't cook because they couldn't cook, so they had to eat them. It wasn't because they couldn't shecht, it wasn't because they couldn't cook. So you know, people it caught people's fancy. So, you know, between here and all the connecting sites, a lot of people heard the question. But a couple of them, one person came to me with a Mishnah Berurah, which has a star and a note on the bottom. I don't know who put it in. It's in today, they have many prints. Someone put in that the Mishnah Berurah is going according to Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, who holds the Torah was given on Friday. not a satisfying teretz, because the Gemara says someone else came with a suggestion that by the time they got down from Har Sinai and they got home, it was already Matzah Shabbos. So I told them, well, if that's the case, we should eat Milchik Sam Matzah Yomtiv, not on you, you know. But, you know, people are following up. People, you know, it's following up on a question that you hear that catches your fancy. That's this idea of Milchamta Shel Torah, of being involved in Torah as if it matters to you, or maybe it really matters to you. Having a good kasha, following up, and doing whatever you could to understand it. All right, the second half of this, I guess, will be appropriate. The night before Tuesday night is Shavuos. So Monday night, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll deal with the end of. You know,